Welcome to Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership Podcast. This is the place to learn what Dave Ramsey and his team teach about leadership and business. On today's show, we are going to be answering your questions. And let me tell you, you guys have some incredible questions. We've taken some fabulous questions. We've taken some of the most common questions. We've put them all together. We're going to try and get to as many of these as we possibly can in the next half hour, the next 30 minutes. Who am I? My name is Chris Licurdo, and I am your host for the Entree Leadership Podcast. And I want to say thank you so much for joining us this episode and every episode. What can you expect out of these podcasts? Well, the same thing every time. Our goal is to give you information that is going to change your life, change your leadership, change the way that you run your business. That's what we want. That's what we want to do. We want to make sure that we're giving you stuff that you are absolutely putting into place. Now, we want to hear from you. We want to hear what you think. We want to hear your comments. We want to hear your questions. Again, this whole episode is dedicated to answering your questions. And we answer a lot of your questions over on my blog at chrislicurto.com. That's Chris Licurto, L-O-C-U-R-T-O.
And the article there today?
Today
is pretty awesome.
The article today is amazing. That is Chris Mefford, our producer of the show, who is going to be with me today asking all of these questions.
I wrote the article.
And he is the one who wrote the article, which is why he's so excited about it. So each one of the every other Tuesday Entree Leadership Podcast articles is coming from the producer's point of view. I think that's what I call it, too.
Yeah, you should. Let's just call that.
We
need a logo and everything.
Get a little Mefford logo. Producer's point of view. So, how do you follow us? Simple. It's easy to follow us on Twitter. You can follow us at Entree Leadership. That's at E-N-T-R-E Leadership. You can follow mine at Chris Licurdo. Once again, that's Chris Licurdo, L-O-C-U-R-T-O. You can send your questions in to either Twitter, or you can send them in to on the email at podcast at entreeleadership.com. And that is how we've gotten most of these, I believe. Now, last episode was a killer episode, was a great episode. Why don't you tell them about that?
Cordia Harrington.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's great. We have had so many emails saying, when are you going to have a leader on from a woman's perspective?
And she killed it.
Yeah, she was fantastic.
So we love that. And we got a lot of comments from you, and that is great. That's what we want to hear. Well, folks, why don't we knock it off? Start it off. I don't know. Why don't Colin's looking at me like you're such a dork? I don't know how we started off. Let's just go ahead and start it off. So
why don't I read the question and you answer the question?
That's a great idea.
All right, this comes in from Tanner. Tanner says, I really need help. How do you change a culture in an academic environment? I am the assistant director of a lab with 55 full-time employees and would like to inspire a better culture. However, being in a university, I have no control over pay raises, benefits, or even hiring and firing to a large extent. Any advice would be great. And I assume that you could translate this to a lot of people in a lot of situations, not just the academic world.
Well, absolutely. I think you're absolutely correct. One, I can see where he's coming from saying, hey, listen, I'm in an academic environment and I have no, I can't adjust pay. I can't give raises. I can't do anything. Here's the thing, Tanner. Culture is not about money. Culture is about what you want to see in your business, in whatever it is that you're working on. So I know a lot of people feel like the only way to incentivize people is to pay them. Now, let me tell you, that's a great start. There's nothing. Would you have come to work for me for free?
Now I would.
Whatever. But I mean, seriously, I mean, people think that all the time. What you have to understand is culture is what you want to see in your business. So if you want a culture of no gossip, then you have got to hit that hard. If you want a culture where you take care of the customer, then you've got to hit that hard. So by definition, at least the way that we define it, what you want is what you go after. If you're focusing on an academic environment, you want happy workers, you want people on fire for what they're doing, then what you've got to start doing is casting a vision.
And I would also add that I think we did a podcast on recognition or unity, one or the other, and there's a lot of useful tips to help motivate and create a culture of a fun place to work and be a part of, where you can sort of entrench yourself as a leader by doing some of the things we talk about
there. Right. The biggest thing you got to do, Tanner, is you've got to cast vision. People have to know that they are doing work that matters. That is when they get excited to come in every day. When they know that when they're coming to is an environment that doesn't have gossips, that doesn't have backstabbers, that doesn't have massive amounts of red tape, when they know that they get to come in, feel good about what they're doing, get a pat on the back, get paid for it, feel good about it, then they want to come in the next day. So that's where you got to start. Start casting that vision.
All right. This one's from Scott. How do you find a leadership group to join, or how do you begin a quality one and build a team of quality people to kick ideas around as well as learn from?
This is a great question, Scott, because we've gotten a lot of people that have kind of asked me this on the blog. They've asked me this through Twitter. And there's a couple of things. You have to define what kind of group you're looking for, because we talked about this with Dan Miller. We've talked about this with a lot of leaders on the podcast. You have to define what kind of group you want. Do you want a group of leaders to bounce ideas off of? That's a lot easier. What you do is you got to go around and find solid leaders. There's usually a lot of groups in your area, small business groups where people get together. So you can look for those, or you can just start networking. Literally going around and finding people who are doing it well. The other kind of group that we usually push for even more is an accountability group. This is great leaders, people who are your level or higher, and you're always looking for people who are higher than your level, who are more successful than you are, who are knocking out of the park, that you know, that you trust, that you have a relationship with, or you can build that relationship over time, that when you get with these folks, these are people that will bust on you. Mm-hmm. I mean, people that will tell you straight up, hey, you're messing up here. Hey, you're not doing this right over here. Whatever. So you're sharing the leadership stuff, but you're also getting the accountability of that group as well. That is going to take more time, but it is worth the time that you put into it.
And even I would say taking one or two of your close friends out and saying, hey, let's study a book together. Let's just find a great book we love to read. Let's go grab breakfast once a week every morning.
It doesn't have to be somebody who's running a multi-million-dollar company. If it's somebody that you respect and you trust and you know that's somebody who's solid, then that's absolutely correct.
Why have you not asked me to join that group? It hurts.
I don't trust you.
Hey, all right. This is from Patrick. I'd just like to say a quick thank you for all you do with the Entree podcast. I was listening on the way into the office the other morning to the episode about personal and company mission statements. I woke up an hour early to come in before our team and get organized. After a few minutes of the podcast, I decided clarifying my personal statement was more important. I'm excited about the direction and clarity it provided. Here it is. Please let me know if there's any fundamental pieces missing in my mission statement. He goes on to give us his mission statement. My mission is to apply my drive, leadership, and personal story to build organizations and people that leave a positive impact. Along the journey, my health, my relationships, and my financial freedom become stronger as I move others closer to their goals. Any feedback is much appreciated. I love listening to your show to change my charge my batteries and change his batteries. But to charge my batteries in the morning rather than doom and gloom of the news. Thank you.
Patrick, great question. Obviously, he was most likely listening to the interview with Dan Miller. We feel like there's three areas you need to focus on when you come to your mission statement. The what, the how, and the why. Plain and simple. Looking at your mission statement, you pretty much answer all three of those in the first sentence. My mission is to apply my drive, leadership, and personal story to build organizations and people that leave a positive impact. Now, there's not really a bad mission statement as long as you're focusing on those three areas, which you do right there. You've got the why, because you want organizations and people that leave a positive impact. You've got the how, it's going to be your drive, leadership, and personal story. And you've got the what. Put all that together. You've got your mission statement now, and you go on to say along the journey, my health and my relationships, my financial freedom, all that stuff in there. So I think you've got it. I think the thing that you need to focus on is you might even get a little bit more defined on your own. What exactly is that going to look like? You've got a good mission statement, you know, for what you're doing. And again, I don't know exactly what it is that you're doing, but now what does that look like? Now, how do you put that? How do you set some goals with that? How do you set some things going forward? So I'm not going to tell you, I'm never going to be the guy who's going to say, hey, your mission statement is not what I think it should be. It's your mission statement. You've answered it. You've done good. You've got the what, the how, and the why. So I think you're good to go.
Cool. All right. This one's from Mark. I love the podcast and read the new Entree Leadership book and enjoyed it greatly. My question is the following. I am a leader with eventual aspirations for management at a blank company. He says it's company, but I'm not going to say it. I am taking a lateral position at the beginning of the year in order to round out my career, as I've been in the same organization for a while. I do not know the team yet, and they are all younger than I am, where I've worked with my current team for about the last 2 years and know some of them coming into the job, and there is a hodgepodge of ages and experience levels. What would you recommend my approach be for this new position in regards to nurturing, serving, and leading this new team?
Well, Mark.
Wait. Oh, I would recommend
wait,
you
do you have
to,
more?
I would recommend you come to the Entree Leadership Master Series event in Tucson, Arizona, coming up this spring. Please check EntreeLeadership.com for further details.
That is a great answer right there. I like that. That's a good answer. Mark, I'm going to say there's two things about leadership. The first thing is leadership is influence, period. If you listen to anything by John Maxwell, read anything by John Maxwell, you will see that he also pushes that like crazy. You have to be able to influence somebody to lead them. By definition, if you are supposedly leading somebody, turn around. If they're not following you, then you're not leading by definition. You have to be able to influence your team. So you're stepping into this new role. You're stepping into this new group of people that are younger. You're used to being with all different types of ages. What you have to do is you have to find a way to be an influencer in that group. The second thing you need to do is, and if you come to Entree Leadership here in Nashville, you will hear me say it a billion times over, I believe your job as a leader is to set your team up for success, plain and simple. You have got to be there answering every question that they've got. Now, you don't. Let me rephrase that. In the beginning, I want you to answer every question they've got, and eventually you need to start letting some of the rope out. But you need to be there to make sure that they've got everything they need to succeed. Do they have all the tools? Do they understand what it is that they're doing? Do they know what winning looks like? As you do those things, then people follow you. Then people become more loyal because now they understand that you actually care. So great question, Mark.
All right. This next question is from Barack.
Barack?
Yes. It says, I work for a federal agency. We could really use Entree Leadership here.
Oh,
who would I talk to if this is possible? All right, that was from Jim.
That's from Jim. But, and let me just say, Jim, because that is what Jim asked, right? He says he works at a federal agency and he wants Entree Leadership there. I've got to say, Jim, the speed that the feds move, we may all not be around any longer when it's time enough to get Entree Leadership in there. There's a couple of ways, as Chris just mentioned, go to EntreeLeadership.com if you want to look at the Master Series event that we do around the country. You can go to EntreeLeadership.com/Nashville if you want to come to one of my events here, or just call into our office.
We have Entree Leadership one-day events.
We have Entree Leadership one-day events.
Orlando and San Antonio this season.
There you go.
All right. Hi, Chris. I think he means you.
I think so.
I love the emails all come to me, but they're all addressed to me.
They're all addressed to me.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for hosting a great podcast on business and leadership. I'm really enjoying it. I run a creative arts department at a large church and was wondering if you could talk to me about key performance areas. I think that's what Dave calls them. And what they look like from a practical standpoint, especially for designers, video, web, and graphics. How would I set them up in a church environment for my staff when revenues don't enter into the equation? Thanks for your help. This is my favorite part. Flash.
I like Flash. Hey, what's up, Flash? First thing, you're very close. It's key results areas. Key result areas is what we call them, KRAs. The second thing is, you know what, Flash? You don't have to have anything to do with the revenues. Key result areas are literally lining out the things that you have to do every single day to win. So as a leader, I need to make sure that my team, their KRA lines out everything that I expect from them and everything that they need to do today to win today. And then when they have that, they know what winning looks like. Without it, what do you normally have? And what we see all the time in businesses all around the country? Chaos. Why? Because you hire somebody in, you give them a limited amount of information and expect that they do the job. And you put them in their place and they try to make things happen, but they miss stuff because they don't understand what winning looks like. They don't understand the whole, exactly what the job is supposed to be, and chaos. So KRAs, simply this. What do I need to do every single day to win? Plain and simple.
I can't stress that enough. That was one of the things that I'd never had before until I came here, and it was fantastic.
And you ran your own business.
Yeah. And it's just great because you feel good every day because, sometimes if your leader doesn't communicate that well or there's a little bit of uncertainty, you can look at that list and say, well, I know I'm winning because this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. Or why am I doing this? This isn't part of my KRA. I need to go address this with someone.
Absolutely.
Becky and I and another couple of guys that work for us in web marketing, I recently helped develop their KRAs, and instead of KRA at the top, I put hashtag winning, like I was Charlie Sheen. Nice. This is what winning.
Oh, Charlie's going to be so mad at you.
All right, this one's from Jim. Hi, Chris. A few years ago, I began giving everyone in my business resources to help them outside of their responsibilities at work. I believe that I may have started that after reading about the required reading that Dave has for everyone in his business. I just finished listening to the podcast with John Miller interview, and you mentioned a few times QBQ being one of the required books. My question is, how does that process look in your business? Is there any follow-up after the books are given out? Do they confirm with anyone that read them? Or what, more importantly, that they got anything from them? I want to do more, but I was wondering if there is more I can do to maximize the experience. Thanks, and keep the great info coming.
Jim, I also answered this question on my blog, by the way. And if you go to chrislacurta.com, I don't know what the heck my blog page is, and type in entree leadership question, then you'll get a bunch of the questions that I've answered there. But basically this, yes, we do check that out. Yes, we do make sure. We give them the books. We give them required reading, and they have to read it within a certain amount of time. And then they're going to talk with their leader. Some leaders go a little bit further in depth. Some ask specific questions. Some even ask for book reports. I know on the blog that I wrote, Mike Hyatt put in a comment in there. He has got, and trust me, get this. Go to the blog post and get his link to the. It's essentially like a book report that he has people bring in, and it's fantastic. So make sure that you do that. But the purpose is you want them to learn, you want them to grow, give them the book, but you've got to follow up. Ask them some questions or go to the length of saying, hey, listen, give me a 500-word, you know, summary on this. Important thing is you want to make sure that they're actually doing it, so do what it takes to find out.
All right, this one's from Jim. I these are all different Jims, but I think Jim is a very popular podcast listener name for Entree Leadership. He says, Chris, what makes a team player? Later, Jim. Later.
What's up, Jim? Having more than one person on the team. Thanks. That was funny in my head. What makes a good team player is somebody who is not out for themselves. I have made the mistake a couple of times in my hiring career of hiring somebody who is all about them. The funny thing, if you've ever watched the movie Miracle, you'll see when they're having the tryouts, within the first day, he's picked the team. And his little co-captain, I don't even remember what his position was.
That was the assistant coach.
The assistant coach. Not the co-captain. But he's like, hey, Herb, we've got 3 days of this, man. And he's like, you haven't even seen some of the best players. Herb's response was, I'm not looking for the best players. I'm looking for the best team. Jim, here's what you have got to understand. If you hire the best players and they are not team players, you will lose. Period. Tony Dungy, if you listen to the Tony Dungy interview that we had, the when I interviewed Tony Dungy, I loved it. Great, fantastic. The thing that he said is that the best team doesn't win. The best team of players wins. It's not the best team full of just individuals. It's the best group of guys. A buddy of mine, Ron Cook, used to manage Kenny Stabler, and he said that it doesn't matter how great the team is in your locker room. If the locker room's not happy, you're not going to win. So what makes a great team player? Somebody who is not all about themselves, somebody who sees that they need to be a part of a team, they need to help out, they need to be, you know, part of the family, in essence. So, would you agree with that, Chris?
Well, it's awkward because I feel like you were talking about me.
I really am. You're a great team player, brother.
All right, this one comes from Crystal. I recently found your podcast and have really enjoyed them. It has been an answer to prayer, finding something that can help us with our business just as FBU helped us with our home finances. A lot of the podcasts talk about building a business that is a corporate size and concepts of a larger business. I would disagree with that. First off, I'm going to start here. These things and concepts are for anyone.
Yeah, literally everything. You're going to love more of Crystal. But anyways, yes, that's our goal. Our goal is to teach it from the side of where we started.
All right. I would love to know if you guys are ever going to discuss aspects of a small family-run business. Now, before I finish, Crystal, I have to tell you, when this email came in, I thought, oh my goodness, Chris Licurdo is going to chomp at the bit to get his teeth into this answer. And not for any business reason, because it's about a winery.
It's a winery.
And you love the wine. Not in a bad way.
not in a bad way.
But you do love going to wineries and touring wineries. And
I was born in Sonoma. I was born in Sonoma, raised in Lake Tahoe. So, hey, how can you not love it?
Anyways, I read that. I thought that was great. My husband and I have a winery in Santa Barbara country. And we've had the winery for over 10 years. I feel like this is the start of a movie.
I know.
Like a Meryl Streep movie. Due to a large harvest, we grew our business. It doubled one vintage and our family at the same time. As soon as we started creating the structure for a larger business, the market crashed. We are downsizing and going through so much change that we're trying to find a way to have a restart to get back to our roots.
I love the term roots.
Yes. But with that, we have accumulated debt from the business growth and employees that really didn't fit our beliefs and values. We have some struggles with how to address all of these issues of letting people go, prioritizing debt, and keeping the good employees motivated to stay. What is up with that, Crystal?
I love it. She's got like 17 puns in there. Crystal, first thing you have to do is hire me. I will be there. I will run your winery.
You can't do that. Who'll do the podcast?
Crud. Okay. Here's what I'm going to hit. Three things. And the three things that you're essentially asking. I'm going to start with the people. When you don't have people that are successful on your team, when you don't have people that are doing things the right way, first place you've got to start with is you. Are you the problem? Are you the reason why they're not being successful? Have you done a bad job showing them what it means to win, showing them what they need to do every single day? Let's assume that you have, although I do find a lot of leaders that don't understand, and once they go through Entree Leadership or I coach them or whatever, then they realize, oh my gosh, I could have done way better. So let's say that you're not the problem and you've got these people on your team. It's time to get rid of them. Time to get rid of them. As Jim Collins asks, go to the question of, would you rehire this person if they weren't working for you? If they weren't working for you now and you knew what you know about them now, would you rehire them? If the answer is no, then why are they there? So the first thing we've got to do is get them off the team. Assuming that you're not the problem, your leadership has been fantastic. You've given them everything to succeed. You've been there to explain to them everything that they need to win. Then now you got to get them off the team. The debt thing, it's huge. You got to get out of it. You got to do whatever it takes. Debt robs you of your options. I know. I was driving through Sonoma and Napa a couple years ago and just watching the fields where they've ripped up a bunch of the vines because people are going under and they can't do anything with it. The ones that have cash are able to continue to grow. You've got to get rid of the debt. You've got to start that process, whatever that takes. The third thing is keeping the good employees motivated to stay. That goes back to one of the earlier questions. You have got to be casting a vision. The reason why somebody wants to stay working for you is because they feel good about working for you, because they feel like they're doing work that matters. So these folks have to come in and understand, one, I can tell you this, if they are working alongside the people that are bad and you haven't done anything about it, then they are now demotivated because they're looking at your leadership and they're going, you're not doing anything about this jerk over here. You're not doing anything about that. So they are now demotivated and they want a leader who's going to take care of them. Once you get the crud out of the business, you get the bad folks out of the business, and you show these people that are good people, hey, I'm sorry, I messed up, I led incorrectly, I'm not going to allow people like that back in here again, then they're going to feel good about what they're doing. Now you got to start casting a vision of going forward. What is it going to look like going forward? What is the business going to look like? Yes, we're going to go through some hard times. Yes, we're going to struggle for a little while. Yes, we got a lot of debt that we got to get rid of. But as we get on the other side of this, then I'm going to bless you even more. As you do that, those team members will stay. They will have more respect for you. They will have more loyalty for you, and they will stay.
And if that helps you out, we could use a case of wine here.
Or seven.
Mefford or Chris Licurdo.
Or Chris Licurdo, either one, yeah.
Hey, I love this one. This one's from Charles.
I bet you love this one.
I love Entree Leadership Podcast, he says. They're amazing. Great info, great guests. All is inspirational. My only gripe is that Chris Licurdo sounds like he's on a stage when he's speaking and not on the radio. And I think it's true.
What does he mean?
Because we're on the high school gymnasium stage.
That's right. Hey, this is the biggest stage. This is like the number two podcast in business in the world, right?
The world is our stage.
The world is our stage. Charles, come on.
Technically the number one podcast for business and leadership on iTunes. But
sweet.
I digress. He goes on to say, I don't feel like we get the real Chris. Love the real Chris and want to hear more on Entree Leadership Podcast. Please post it more frequently. I feel like that last part, he meant me, Chris, not you, Chris.
You think that's what it is, right?
I don't know what it is. All right, Brenda goes on. She says, Would you please address how your company deals with yearly performance evaluations? Do you have protocols for rebuttals in case the employee feels that the evaluation is not accurate?
Brenda, we technically don't have yearly evaluations. We call them checkups. Yearly checkups. And the reason why is because we work so closely with our team throughout the year, our leaders are required to work closely with their team members and constantly be giving them input and constantly be asking them questions and constantly be getting, you know, if there's something that they're doing wrong, give them corrections, whatever it is, pat them on the back for the things that they're doing right, because guess what, Brenda, you need to be finding people doing things right. So that by the time that we get to their anniversary, we just have a checkup. And the basic checkup is just saying, you've done a great job. You're amazing. We love having you on board, yada, yada, yada. Because anything else that was an issue would have been addressed throughout the year. If you get to that yearly evaluation and you still have an issue, then basically what you're going to say is, hey, listen, we've worked on this, 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 and we're going to try and sandwich it. We're going to try and say something positive. Then we're going to hit the negative and say, listen, you still have this to work on. But, you know, we've talked about that multiple times. So, you know, just brushing over it. But, hey, love having you on the team. That is the way that we do our yearly checkups.
All right, we got a few here. Let's try and knock out a couple of these. It says, Dear Entree Leadership Podcast, every morning in my daily routine, I look for inspiration that helps make a positive change in my life and that will radiate out into the world, mostly by reading or listening to podcasts. The Entree Leadership Podcast has been such a valuable resource to me that you deserve a personal thank you for providing this free content.
That's sweet.
I coach college students and think there's a great market for your material, not just in business, but in life. Thank you, respectfully, Devin.
Love it. That's great. Thank you, Devin.
All right, this is from Meredith. Good morning. I'm new to the Entree Leadership Podcast, and I'm loving them so far. And the first one you mentioned, a three-day leadership training course that takes place in Nashville to address various areas of leading and growing a business. I looked for the website and found the week-long Entree Leadership opportunity, but did not see the three-day opportunity listed. That is one of my clever marketing ploys.
That is one of your clever marketing ploys.
Makes you want it more. Could you provide information? And if you listen to the podcast, as you say, you can find it on the website at
EntreeLeadership.com/Nashville.
All right, Chris, we got one last one. This one comes from Jan. I just wanted to let all the Dave Ramsey staff that are involved at the Entree Leadership Podcast know it is a great wealth of information. I went on a podcast binge tonight and listened to all your podcasts, and they are so packed with information. I've been a fan of Dave for a long time and love this new podcast. The format of it is so easy to listen to, and it keeps your attention all the way through. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and this one is the best. Right now, Chris and I are giving each other a
Sweet.
High five.
Do you know, I get a lot of those comments, though. Like, through Twitter, I've got a lot of people that say, dude, I downloaded one, I downloaded them all, and listened to them all right in a row.
We do that. I mean, we had a concerted effort that when you come on the show as a guest, you don't get to talk about everything you want to talk about and what you're doing. You have to talk about the topic at hand.
Specific.
And I think that a lot of our guests appreciate that. It keeps them focused. Anyway, Jan goes on to write, I really want to build a legacy, but can't decide if I should go or give up a client and figure out how to think bigger or to grow my business and just go with this one client. My resources are limited, and fighting the battle of every unemployed office employee that touched bookkeeping at one time or another, who are advertising them as skilled and then charging $10 an hour to make it tough to give up on a regular paying client. The question is, how do I decide on what is the best decision or approach to the client to understand my worth? Thanks again for the podcast, Jan.
This is a very common question in all different types of industries. People are always asking, what do I do when my competition out there is charging so little? How do I build my business? How do I build my client base when, you know, I'm getting undercut all the time? The answer is simple. You have got to offer something that is way better than the other clients. If these people out there barely know how to do bookkeeping and they're charging 10 bucks an hour, then guess what? The people who are paying 10 bucks an hour, they're getting somebody who barely knows bookkeeping. They're getting somebody who's probably making a decent amount of mistakes, and they're probably having to spend hours fixing those mistakes for more $10 an hour hours. So what you've got to do is you've got to figure out what sets you apart from everybody else. Whatever that is what you've got to market yourself on. That is what you've got to build up. If it works with this one client, and you need to show them that you're worth more and you need to get paid more, then you need to prove to them why you're worth more. Otherwise, why would I pay you more? If you were coming to me and you're like, hey, I need you to give me more money. Well, why? Same concept here. You've got to show what it is that you're doing that other people in your field cannot do. As you do that, you get more clients.
Chris, to me, this is also a marketing kind of thing or advertising. And so I like to ask clients and customers who would come into me and say, if I said to you, what makes you different than the competition out there, but you could not tell me it was your quality, service, or price, what would you say? And a lot of times people just look back at me because they would always say their quality, service, and price. But I expect that wherever I go. So I want to know what makes you different. The other thing I would say is I got a book a while back. When I was starting my business, a friend gave me, and it was called Dead Printer Working. And it was about the printing industry, which is turned into a commodity. And they would always undercut, and to the point where their machines were working all day, but they weren't making any money. And so, essentially, if this guy over here was doing business cards for $10, for 1,000 business cards for $10, and I was charging $100, he would have to work 10 times as hard. I could turn away 9 orders before I had to accept one.
Right.
And so if I took on 3 orders, he had to work 30 times as hard.
And that's a great point, because we get this from a lot of folks who are doing incredible service, great jobs, and they're having to turn down jobs all the time, or they keep trying to take jobs all the time and they don't have the manpower to do it. And they're always like, well, what do I do? So this is the other side of the coin. Well, here's the great thing. When you have such great quality and such great service, you can actually raise your rates because the reputation of how good you've done has now preceded all of that. And people are coming to you because they know that you're going to offer them, you're going to give them something even better. So it's two sides of the coin. Focus on the great service, the great quality that, you know, I want to pay for. And then as you do that, you're going to get yourself to a point where, heck, now people are going to start knocking down your door. All right. Well, that wraps this episode of Entree Leadership Podcast up. And thank you, sir. I think that was a lot of fun for me. I hope that was a lot of fun for you. And I think that I hope our listeners enjoyed the Q&A. So, you want to hear more of that? Let us know. Let us know what you think of that style. Let us know if you've got your questions. Send that to us. How can you do that? There's a couple of ways. Again, you can do it through Twitter at Entree Leadership. You can do it through email at podcast@entreeleadership.com. You can follow me at Twitter at Chris Licurdo. You can go to my blog, chrislicurdo.com. So, folks, again, we thank you so much for being a part of the show. We thank you for giving us incredible questions for us to answer, because those are some good ones. That's some solid stuff. We got some good companies out there that I think if they make a couple of adjustments, they'll see huge differences in their business. Don't forget, if you would like to learn more about Entree Leadership, go to entreeleadership.com. If you'd like to know more about my event, go to entreeleadership.com/Nashville. As always, some thank yous go out to the team who puts this on every single time. That would start with you, sir. Thank you very much. Chris Mefford, our producer of the show. Colin Fatke in the booth, who is incredible with our audio. Becky Powell.
She's our chief questionnaire.
And, of course, Dave Ramsey. We hope that this helps. We hope that you've gotten something from today's show. Take this information, go out there, change your life, change your leadership, change your business, and join us on the next Entree Leadership Podcast. Folks, right now couldn't be a better time in history to operate or start a small business. If you're ready to take your leadership to the next level or start your own company, then join me, Dave Ramsey, for the one-day event based on my New York Times number one bestseller, Entree Leadership. At Entree Leadership One Day, I'll teach you everything you ever wanted to know about building and growing a business. Get your seats now at DaveRamsey.com or call 888-22-PEACE. That's 888-227-3223.
Hey, this is Daniel Tardy with Dave Ramsey's Entree Leadership Master Series event. This event offers personal leadership coaching from our executive team, in addition to Dave teaching you his entire business playbook. We're thrilled to announce that our next event will be at the gorgeous Westin La Paloma Resort in Tucson, Arizona, May 6th through the 12th. Our last event sold out early. These events always sell out early because they're limited to 200 people. So if you want to lock in a seat, you better call our team today at 888-227-3223. Just ask for me, Daniel Tardy.
Running a business is not for wimps. If you lead people on a daily basis, you know how tough it is. You want your team to enjoy coming to work every day with the same level of passion you have. How can you do that? We've got three ways. John Acuff, Chris Hogan, and Chris Licurdo. These speakers travel the country inspiring business audiences, both large and small. They're not only endorsed by Dave Ramsey, they're on his team. They live and breathe Entree leadership. They get it. And they know how to get it across to your people in their own unique styles. They'll share practical, proven, easy-to-understand principles that will impact how your team sees their work, and more importantly, how they see themselves. This is real-life stuff straight from the trenches. Dave's company has won Best Place to Work in Nashville 5 times in a row for a reason. You can win too, but you have to be intentional about it. Call our speakers group to schedule John Acuff, Chris Hogan, or Chris Licurdo today. Call 888-284-2488. That's 888-284-2488 or online at DaveRamsey.com/speakers.